And our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I think I caught just about everyone coming in the door, but my name is Heather Baggett, and I am pleased to be with you this morning. I spend most of my time working as a healthcare chaplain, and this past week I started a new job. I am now working at the Children's Hospital of Richmond. Because I was starting as a staff chaplain, the same week that the new chaplain students were starting their residency, we all got to do our orientation together. This means that I am getting not just an orientation to the Children's Hospital of Richmond, but an orientation on what it means to be a chaplain, because that's what they're doing with the chaplain students. Now, I've been a chaplain for more than a decade at this point. However, I found these orientations to be a wonderful refresher, a reminder of all that I have learned and a reframing of things that I've known and used every day for these past 10 years. In one such orientation session, my schedule said spiritual assessment tool. And I thought that sounded like a very clinical title for learning how to chart in the computer what my spiritual assessment of the patient was. However, we had an extremely profound conversation in that session. It was a little bit on how to chart the spiritual assessment, but it was also so much more. The first question our preceptor asked the group is, what is belief? Now, it's a pretty simple question, but everybody in that room had been to seminary and spent time in classes answering questions and writing papers and doing presentations and thinking very academically about that kind of question for a very long time. So we came up with many convoluted university kind of answers. And our preceptor held up her hand and said, think simpler. We all just kind of stared at her for a moment, and she took her marker and wrote the following on the whiteboard. A belief is something we hold to be true. Okay, take me out of university and put me in the hospital. A belief is something we hold to be true. So simple and so profound. Now, in healthcare chaplaincy, we provide support and ministry to folks of all faiths and no faiths. So some terms that we might consider to be very similar or the same thing in our church have different meanings in the healthcare setting. Belief, religion, faith, spirituality. Now, as I was reading today's gospel and preparing for today's sermon, I realized how important those terms are for all of us, even if in our setting they're very similar. For now, I want to jump into the gospel, and we'll come back to those terms in a little bit. Today's gospel reading can be a little overwhelming. We get the bonus pack, 5 parables for the price of 1. We hear about tenant farmers and mustard seeds and hidden treasure and yeast and fishing and so much. And in Jesus' time, these would have been stories using simple, common, everyday examples. Can you imagine? You've traveled so far, days perhaps, to hear this new itinerant preacher speak. You come expecting divine revelation, powerful narratives, stories you can be proud to share with all those who couldn't come with you back at home. And these are the stories you hear? You hear a story about yeast and fish and mustard trees? About things that you might disdain or find useless or meaningless, a story you could have heard from Joe, your neighbor. Because these examples are not commonplace to us, a mustard tree, a fisherman, yeast in the dough is not something that we necessarily deal with every day. We might not realize how commonplace these would have been for the people listening to the stories. I'm going to start with the mustard seeds. Now, unless you're a chef or a cook, your mustard probably comes in a yellow bottle. Maybe it comes in a little glass bottle in a brown powder. Maybe. In Jesus' time, the mustard plant was considered a trash bush. It grew everywhere. It was annoying. It started small, and then it just took over everything. It got huge. Trash bush. One commentator compared it to kudzu in today's world. If that gives you more of a clue what mustard would have been. So why are we talking about the kingdom of heaven as like kudzu? That doesn't make much sense, does it? How would you feel if you came to hear about miracles and divine revelations and all you get is trash bush? And yeast. Don't get me started on yeast in Jesus' time. It was a symbol for corruption and impurity. because they mostly had unleavened bread, and yeast made bread leavened. And so when you, if you talk about putting yeast in bread, it was making it impure. It was making it less than it should be. And yet, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it's leavened. Those listening would have been baffled by the comparison. So what is Jesus doing by using these everyday, commonplace, and even negative examples to describe the kingdom of heaven? How is Jesus trying to shape our belief with these parables? I'm going to shift again and go back to where we started with some of our terms. Belief is that which we hold to be true. So what about religion, faith, and spirituality? Now, religion was one of the easiest for our group to come and make a definition of. Religion is a communal and organized system of belief. Or should we say a communal and organized system of things we hold to be true? Now, the next one was the one I was most surprised by. Our preceptor used Parker Palmer's definition of faith. It's so simple, it's one word. Faith is courage. Now I'm adding a bit to that. Faith is the courage to be true to our beliefs, the courage to fully participate in our religion, the courage to live with integrity. Now finally, spirituality is how we engage with that which is ultimate, that which is sacred. So what do these 5 parables share with us about the fundamental concepts of belief, religion, faith, and spirituality? We hold it to be true that the kingdom of God is found in the commonplace, in the everyday, in our life, right here, right now, all the time. We find it true that God, the kingdom of God is found in the rejected, the disdained, the impure. We hold it to be true that when the kingdom of God takes root, it grows like kudzu. We hold it to be true that the kingdom of God is here and now among us and among those places and people we might not want to consider to be sacred, but are. Now, communally, we commit to seeking God out in all places, all people, and all situations. Communally, we commit to planting the seeds of God's love through everything we do. Communally, we commit to preaching the gospel at all times, and as St. Francis says, only use words if necessary. No matter how simple these stories, these ideas, they're not easy. Simple and easy are not the same thing. Just because something is simple to understand does not mean that it is easy to do. By standing with the everyday, the disdained, the trash bush, we may begin to be lumped in with those categories. And to stand there, it takes courage. It takes faith. There's a phrase that is often used in a very negative way. If you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. What if we're called to lay down with the dogs and get up with the fleas? What courage does that take? And even if we don't get up with fleas, because maybe the fleas were just our imagination because we didn't really know the situation, many might perceive that we have those fleas and make our lives more difficult for it. So why do we do it? What makes it worth it? These are actions of ultimate concern. These are the ways in which we bring the kingdom of God to the here and the now. Many believe the ultimate concern of Christians should be what happens to us when we have died. Do we go to heaven or do we go to hell? And that's an important question, don't get me wrong, but it's not where we're going today. Maybe the ultimate concern of Christians should be what we're doing right here and now in this life. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God in general, but specifically in today's gospel, 4 of the 5 parable examples were about here and now. Only one of them was about what happens when we die. We are not only promised a house in God's mansion in the hereafter, we are called to create God's house in the here and the now. I have spent most of this sermon on the gospel reading and how it calls to us. I want to end with a section of the Romans reading, because the gospel reading calls us to difficult, dangerous, and sometimes dirty work. We are also called to encourage one another and remind each other of the importance of this work. I leave you with this. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, and who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Take courage, for we hold this to be true. Nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.